It's Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 to 14. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor, but all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children.' You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow and wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess."
Let's pray again. Our loving Lord, we do thank you for your word, and we ask now that you would show us more of yourself and more of your Son. Amen. Oh, land. We love our land, don't we? Owning our little bit of land. The ponds, I think there nearly all the land is sold. So what's next? It's just going to keep the development. We'll just keep going. I think the next little bit is at the fields, what the new bit of Schofields is called, the fields. We live in a great part of Sydney, a growing and diverse part of Sydney. And we've chosen to live here, to be in this part of Sydney, with lots and lots of young families that, if you like, represent the next generation, the people, the leaders of tomorrow. And that might be you. And you have that privilege, that responsibility to raise kids. Not just in this world, but in the instruction of the Lord. Now you get to teach kids about life, what it is to live in God's world, who owns all the land. Now what an honour and responsibility that is. And thankfully, we're not on our own. As you seek to do this, you are not on your own. We have God's word, which speaks into every aspect of our life. Now the Bible is one big story. It's God's story, made up of 66 books, but all coming together to form one story, God's story. My scripture kids, they know it as God's big rescue. Alright, so that's their summary of that one big story. God's big rescue. It's his unfolding story of salvation, centering on his Son at the cross, and how people from all nations can know God and have life in the kingdom of God. So this term we're looking at, the book of Deuteronomy. Now, studying the Old Testament at college, I think this was my favorite book of them all, Deuteronomy. And when we come to this book, the fifth book in the Bible, where are we up to in that one story of the Bible? Well, if we go back, Genesis 12, that key chapter, God chooses one man, Abram. From this one man, God will make for himself a great nation, a people who will be his. He will be their God. The Lord speaks to Abram and says, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Right, here we have the promise of land. Abram, he's obedient to God's word, and he travels to that land. We're told at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And later on in Genesis, Abraham's wider family, it's grown to be quite big now, and they're in Egypt, and they're there for 400 plus years. But then Moses is to lead them out of Egypt and into the promised land. God does that. He saves them, rescues them out, brings them, gathers them together at Mount Sinai. And there, in spectacular fashion, he meets with them at that mountain. They receive the law, God's law, God's word on how they are to live in the land when it is given to them, so that life will be good in the land. So that covers Exodus, Leviticus. I will skip Numbers for a moment and come to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means second law. But it's not another law, like the first didn't work, so here's a second attempt. It's not like Windows 8.1 to fix everything that was wrong with Windows 8. This is a retelling of the law. It's the same law. It's the same. So why do these people need it again? If they've already heard it, if they already know it, why do we need Deuteronomy? If it's just the law that they've already been given and they've already heard, haven't they already heard it? Well, yes and no. Remember what happens in Numbers? We were there this time last year. The people were all ready to go in and take the land. Right? In Numbers, it was all about to happen. But remember what happened? They got scared. And they said, we can't do it. The people there, they're really big and they're strong and we'll lose and we can't do it. And they didn't trust God. They weren't prepared to go in and take the land. They didn't believe that God would give them the land. Right? That's what they forgot. They forgot that it was God giving them the land. They didn't trust him. And so what happened? For 40 years, they wandered in the desert. They would not enter the land. Instead, the next generation would. Their children, they would be the ones to be given the land, to enter the land. Which brings us to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a retelling of the law to this next generation. Deuteronomy chapters 1 to 3 tells that story, the history of where they've come and what's happened, particularly in Numbers, what we've just run through very quickly. And then chapter 4, verse 1, Moses declares, "Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you." I remember Braveheart, the movie, with William Wallace, rallying his people, giving them that stirring speech to prepare them for battle. Here, God's people are on the verge of the promised land. And what we have in Deuteronomy is essentially three sermons. Three stirring sermons from Moses, where he is calling the next generation to action, to obedience. He's calling them to take seriously God's law, the Word of God, to love God and His ways, to know that God is the one and only, that they are His special people, that God is about to give them the land. And if they obey and worship God, life will be good in that land. That's what Deuteronomy is. Three sermons to stir the people to trust God and to live that life that will be good in the land by worshiping God. So we're in the first sermon here that Moses gives, and this is towards the back end of it when he's starting to really apply it to them. He says, chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to give you, to teach you. Follow them." This is what he's calling the people to do. So I want to share with you 2 points and 2 warnings from Deuteronomy 4. And the first point to make is that the law is good. We see it in verses 1 to 8. But let me read from verse 5. "See, I have taught you my decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today?'" Now, we often think that laws and rules are bad and that they're only there to be broken. But we know that that is not true. Do you have rules in your home? I remember one growing up. It wasn't so much a rule, but Mum would say, "If you want to muck around, go outside." Right now, she might have just wanted us out of her hair. But she didn't want us hurt, or she didn't want us breaking things in the house. When you make rules in your home, I don't think you make them because you want to make life hard for your kids. Right? That's not why you have rules. You have their best interests at heart. Right? That is why you have rules in your house. Because that is going to be best for everyone living together. Right? The law is good. It is so good, God's word says here, it will make Israel the envy of other nations. You see, having God's word, having revelation from God Himself, what a privilege that is. These are His people. God is speaking to them. God gives them His word. And it will make them the envy of the nations if they obey and worship Him. And we, us today, believers, we don't just have this law mediated through Moses. We have God's word embodied in Jesus Himself and spoken by Jesus. Right, when you think about that, that is big. Right, let's have a look at a few verses from John's Gospel, John chapter 1. You'll see them up on the screen. The very first verse in John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now there is grace in the law. It's mediated through Moses. But in Jesus, in the person Jesus, it is embodied. We have God himself come in the flesh. Alright, God's word mediated to the people through Moses. But then in Jesus, God's word dwells amongst the people, takes the form of a man. He's a man. God is there in the flesh, and God's word is spoken by Jesus. Right? That is amazing. Now we have the revealed will of God in the person of Jesus Christ. That is big. What we have here, this is so much more than just a book. Right? It is a book, but it is the Bible, so much more than just a book. And maybe a danger for us is that we can be so familiar with it. Those of us who have been Christians for a while, we can lose sight of just how amazing this is. This is God's revelation in the person of Jesus, and we have it recorded here for us. God's word. His revealed word in the person of Jesus, in the word of God. Right, the word is good. We're called to obey it, to obey Jesus. And if we do, our life for us will be good. And we might just be the envy for people around us. Our light to the world. What Jesus says. Well, the second point, this law that is given is in the context of relationship. And we see this in verses 9 to 31. I remember speaking with a child a few years ago now. I don't remember exactly what I told them. I mean, I told them not to do something. I do remember what they said to me. No, you're not my dad. See, relationship is important. Now, they were right. I wasn't their dad. And for them, that meant they didn't have to listen to me. Because relationship is important. And if dad says something, then, well, they might do it. Someone else, they're like, no, I don't have to do that. Relationship is important. These laws that we read in Deuteronomy, they are not some random set of laws which say, do this, don't do this. No, these laws, Deuteronomy, they're given in the context of covenant. See, these are God's special people. This is a nation that God is gathering together for himself that they worship him. He has already saved them. He has brought them out of Egypt. They are his special possession, his holy nation. This is his special and good law for them. For life to be good in the land that he is giving them. And in these verses, verses 9 to 31, we have the words, the Lord your God, 17 times I counted them. Right? In 22 verses, 17 times, the Lord your God. Yahweh. the Lord God, He has revealed Himself to them. They have a covenant together. He is their God. They are His people. Have a look at it from verse 10. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, Mount Sinai, when He said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you His covenant, the Ten Commandments, which He commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So that recounts Exodus 19 and 20. They're the two stone tablets that Moses received there. Now, I've always taken that, that the, yeah, say commandments 1 to 5 written on one tablet and 6 to 10 on the other, or 1 to 4 and 6 to 10. That's how I've pictured it, and I think that's the pictures that we see. But I read this week, maybe not. It could be two tablets, each of them with commandments 1 to 10 on each of them. Because this is a covenant. This is a relationship between two parties. So just like if when you buy land or a house, you enter into a contract. One contract, but two copies of that same contract. Now, we don't exactly know with the stone tablets, but we do know that this law is given in the context of relationship. And there is grace in the covenant, because God has initiated it. God has saved them. God has established it. And we don't just wait till Jesus till we see God's grace. Right, there is grace in these laws, in the relationship. You'll keep seeing God's grace here in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Now, many people today, maybe people that you speak to, and they think Christianity is all about doing stuff or not doing certain things. That it's about rules, things that you must do or things that you must not do. And if you do a good enough job, then you'll get to heaven. Moralism. But that's not Christianity. That is not the gospel. See, we, as believers, Christians, we have experienced the love of God. We have been forgiven by Jesus, His death on the cross. As it says in 1 John 3, verse 1, the great love of the Father has been lavished on us, and now we are children of God. Children of God. Now, we've been adopted into God's family. He is our Father. He's not only our God, He is our Heavenly Father. And we are His children. And this has all been made possible by His grace, His Son, and the work of the Spirit. As His Father, He looks after us, He provides for us, He gives us His Word, His revealed will, so that we know how to live as part of His family. See, it's all about relationship. He's our Father. And yes, we are called to obedience. But it's in the context of relationship. He has saved us. And now we have His Word on how we are to live as His people. As His saved people. So I said there were two warnings. So let us look quickly at these. And it's really one warning, because these two warnings are the same. And it is, do not forget. And that is the message, the warning. Or to say it in the positive, remember. Remember. This is Moses' passionate plea for the people, that they remember. And you'll see this time after time as you keep reading through Deuteronomy. So the first, in verse 9, he says, he calls for them, says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. And then further down in verse 23, we see really the same warning. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol. It's there too in verse 15. He says, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol. You get the picture? He calls on them to watch themselves very closely, not to forget, not to make an idol. And lots of people living around us, or maybe your neighbours, will have idols in their house, idols that they worship. Now that mightn't be the case for us, and we mightn't be in danger of having those actual idols ourselves. But we are in danger, aren't we, of letting other things in this world, other things in life, become more important to us than God himself. We're in danger that God is part of our life rather than God is our life. That's one of the reasons why gathering together, like we are now, once a week, is just so important. Because it helps us to remember, to be reminded of God's grace and the great truths of the Bible, of who God is, of who we are, that we are his children. And now he's called us to be part of his great story. His great plan of salvation. We're now part of that story. And he calls us to live his way as his children. And we have Jesus to show us the way, how he wants us to live. So do not forget that. It is a wonderful thing. We have been invited in to God's amazing story. Through Jesus, we've entered that story. And there's an overlap between the world and the kingdom of God. If you're a Christian, you're living not just in the world, but living as a citizen in the kingdom of God. And we await the day, don't we, until that's all there'll be, the kingdom of God. If you're not a Christian, I'd love to explore this more with you, how through Jesus you can be part of what God is doing in this world. You can be part of the kingdom. Our friends, do not forget what you are part of. We can easily. Which is why gathering together as his people for a couple of hours every Sunday morning is just so important. Not just when nothing else is on, not just when we feel like it. He is our God. We are his people. So it is so important that we come together to worship Him together once a week as our God. And that we hear His word to us together as a church family here. And that we spur one another on to know God more and more and to live out who we are as His people more and more in the joys and the struggles of life. We need it. I need it. You need it. So that you do not forget. So that you don't let the great news of the gospel slip from your heart, as verse 9 says. And so you don't let other things, idols, take the place that God and God alone deserves. So watch yourself very carefully and teach the gospel to your children, the next generation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your grace. Thank you that you've chosen us. You've invited us to be part of your story. What it is that you are doing in this world. Thank you that through Jesus we have come to know you. You've forgiven our sins. Thank you that you have given us your word, your will for our life. Help us to listen to you and to be obedient. Help each one of us to watch our life closely. That we do not forget, that we do not let these things slip from our heart, but we would truly love you and treasure you with everything that we have. Father, change us where we need to be changed, that we do love you with all our heart, all our soul, mind and strength. For your glory, we pray. Amen.